Good work, my rival Rabbi Isai. Our topic this evening, Bezer Hashem, is to discuss a little about the two great foundations of the world of Yiddishkeit, learning of Torah HaKadosha and Tefillah. We know that Torah is the Amud HaOlam. The Torah is the lifeblood of the world in the most simple form imaginable. If the world would stop learning Torah for a moment, the world would have no existence. It's a Weltwort that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that the time in different places have different hours. When we sleep, in Eretz Yisrael, for instance, people are awake. And the Welt says it's a situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that there should always be learning Torah in the world. Chas v'shalom, the world will be empty from Torah for a moment. The world has no existence. It is also very important to know that tefillah is also the lifeblood of the world, b'poel mamash. If the world would be empty from tefillah for a moment, if you would find a tranquil moment in the world for a split second, then the world would have no existence. Historically, there was once such a situation. It's one of the foundations of Jewish history, the sugya of Asara Harugi Malchus. I think you all know, we say it in our tefillahs.
Okay, go ahead.
We say it in our tefillahs every Tisha B'Av and every Yom Kippur, and we remind ourselves, and even many of us who our eyes are as dry as straw, when it comes to the Asara Harugi Malchus, so many of us, Al Kaponim, we cry on the Asara Harugi Malchus, and we describe how the great 10 greatest sages of the Jewish people, and the greatest of them was Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel, that Meshuvim and Gamaliel were killed ruthlessly by the Roman government. And in middle, Chazal tell us that when they brought out the two Kedesh HaElyon, the great Tanoim, the Bishmoel Kohen Godel and the Nasi, the Meshuvim and Gamaliel. And the Bishmoel Kohen Godel was extremely beautiful. Chazal tell us that when he went up to heaven, he saw the Malach Gavriel. And it was Mashbel Chazal that his beauty and his Zohar was like the Malach Gavriel. And Malach Gavriel said, "Are you Yishmoel Kohen Godel, that Hashem Yisbarach, that your Creator boasts with you every day and says, I have a beautiful child in my world, that his image is like mine, Kavah Yochel." This was the Bishmoel Kohen Godel. And the Bishmoel Godel was brought out to be killed. So the king's daughter was wanted his beauty and asked her father to take the skin off his face because it was so beautiful and shining. And Chazal tell us that when they reached the Mokum HaTfilin, he gave a scream and a cry, V'nizdazu Shamayim V'oretz, and heavens and earth was shaking. And then he gave a second cry, and heavens and earth shook again, and the Malachim said, all the angels screamed to Hashem, Zu Torah v'zu Schara. This is the reward of learning Torah. And Yotzah Baskoil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave out a voice and said, Im Eshma Koil Acher, if I will hear one more cry, I will destroy my world and I will reverse it back to its origin, tohu vavohu. If I will hear one more cry, then the world will be destroyed. Now, we must try to figure out why was this expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I will hear one more cry, then I will destroy the world. Is it wrong to say Zu Torah v'Zu Schora? Did these tzaddikim deserve this great punishment? What was the taina? What was the taina against them? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I will hear one more cry, Efech es ha'oy l'toy b'voy. But the pshat is like this. The world in that time was in danger of being destroyed. Because just like we have a klal that the world is on the foundations of Torah, on the same way, the foundation of the world is tefillah and avodah. And tefillah and avodah means yearning to Hashem. And this is one of the fundamentals of creation. Chazal tell it to us in Remez. They hinted to us in the Gemara in Tainus. And the words of the Gemara is, Ein tipas geshem. To quote exactly, Ein tefach shel geshem yored min hashamayim. The literal translation is that by nature, when the rain comes, the wells from the bottom also swell. And the Gemara says that for every tefach, for every drop of rain that comes down from the heaven, the wells from the tahoim also bring up water, kenegdom. This is the literal translation. But the hint that Chazal tell us is, Ein tefach shel geshem yored min hashamayim. Geshem describes the overall shefa, all bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives from heaven. Ein tefach shel geshem yored min hashamayim, ad shelo oile kenegdo shtei tfochim min hatohim. A drop of rain will not come from the heaven unless two drops went up from the tahoim, from the depths of the earth. If there is no drop of tears, there is no yearning, there is no crying, there is no begging, if there is no tefillah, then there is no rain. And way in the beginning of history, when Adam Rishon was created and he came out to the world, he saw a world of desert. Nothing grew. And Chazal tell us, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tad Shei Ha'oretz Deshet, there should be green, everything came out till the Pesach HaKarka, till the doors of the Karka, until, because there was no rain. The Mauritian came and asked for rain, the rain came down, everything started growing. Nothing can grow without tefillah. Now, when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayam, the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash was an exaggeration, was a greatness of Avodah. The Karbonis, when someone slaughtered a behemoth, a korban, this was a yearning to Hashem with blood. Ribbono shel Olam, I want to become close to you with blood. I'm giving away my nefesh, my neshama. This behemoth, I'm slaughtering him, and I'm bringing up a mot yom mizbeach, and he's going up with a fire up to heaven. I wish it would be me. That's what a korban is. And this is what brought all greatness and all happiness and all bracha. And the world had parnose and bonim and simcha, and there was nothing missing as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was no more avodah. And the world, for some reason, was tranquil. The world was quiet and happy. Because we didn't need the Beis HaMikdash. We had great sages that were more important to us than the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us, Chas v'sholom, a tzaddik dies, Koshe siluku shel tzaddikim, yoyse mechorben Beis HaMikdash. Imagine a generation, our time, if you would have a tzaddik like the Heilige Tzanzer, like the Chassam Sofer, like the Bekiva Eger, if you have 10 Rebbe Kiva Egers today in the United States, would you be missing anything? If you have 10 Chassam Sofers, would we be missing anything? In that time, there wasn't 10 Chassam Sofers. In that time, there was Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu boasts with him every day. This is the beauty. Like mine, Hashem Yisbarach says. We had Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Nasi Yisrael, with his greatness. We had Rabbi Akiva. We had the 10 tzaddikim that were doima to the 10 shvatim. The world was tranquil. They had who to lean upon. No one was crying. There was no avoda. There was no yearning to Hashem. And therefore, the world was in danger of being destroyed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, in order to continue his world, had to inflict upon the world a tragedy of tragedies. A tragedy that will bring tears to our eyes to the end of generations. A tragedy that we are crying on this tragedy 2,000 years and our tears didn't dry up. Because only this tragedy will guarantee the continuation of the world. Because when these 10 tzaddikim were destroyed, were killed, Am Yisrael cried till this very day to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam. We have no one to lean upon. You took away our tzaddikim. We are yearning to you. Ein lanu melech ela oto. And this cry and this tefillah is what guarantees the continuation of the world. And in the middle of this decree, the Bishmol Kohen Gadol gave a scream that the heavens and the earth shook. And Hashem said, one more scream, then you're right. If you give one more cry, I will say you're right. You don't deserve it. There's no reason for this decree. And I will stop the Gzeirah. And the tzaddikim won't be killed, but the world will be destroyed. Because the world has no continuation. Because what continues the world, the essence of our life, is either greatness of Torah, but it's not enough Torah. Also a yearning of tefillah. Now, it is brought down in the name of Reb Chaim Vital. I imagine in the name of the Arizal. Something very interesting. Reb Chaim Vital says that although all through the generations, the most important concentration that the Jewish people concentrated on in their Avodah was Torah. Today, in last generations, I don't know to what generation he exactly referred to, but I imagine surely today, in the door of Mashiach, Ikvus the Mashiach, the Chofetz Chaim told it to us, we know no one knows when Mashiach is going to come, but we know what Ikvus the Mashiach is, we know that we're very close to Mashiach. The most important avodah is tefillah. That's what Reb Chaim Vital said. Now, let me try to explain. Why is today, for us, the most important avodah tefillah? Well, maybe I should repeat a little point that I had mentioned last night in order to bring out this understanding. The Jewish people, and as a whole, are called in the name of one of three great people. In overall, we are called Bnei Yisrael. We are called on all of the Yaakov Avinu's names. You'll find that Am Yisrael is called Yisrael. That's most famous. Am Yisrael is called Yaakov. Am Yisrael is called Yeshurun. Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, are called in the name of Yaakov Avinu. You will find in the Navi many times the Jewish people are called in the name of Yosef and Ephraim. And the most famous of them is Haben Yakuli Ephraim, Im Yelad Shashuim, my beloved, my delicious child Ephraim. And this does not refer to Ephraim as Dafke Ephraim, it refers to all the Jewish people. And this you'll find in the Navi until the Churban Beis HaMikdash. After the destruction of the first temple, then Am Yisrael till today are called Yehudim. And Yehudim is in the name of Yehuda. Yehuda and the name Jew in English or in any language is a translation of the word Yehudi, al-Shem Yehuda. Now, our origin is Yaakov Avinu. The continuation of Yaakov Avinu is either through Yosef or through Yehuda. Let us put it in these words. Yosef is the expression of the Jewish greatness, and that is Torah. Yehuda is the expression of Tefillah. The name Yehuda is Tefillah. Hoydah. Hoydah means Moedim Anachnu Lefanecha, which is an expression of Tefillah. Which means like this. The greatness of Jewish people were always in Torah. If I will ask you to name the 20 greatest people in the Jewish people of generations, or if I would say, give me from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation the Godel Hador, I'm sure you will mention Rashi, the Rambam. I'm sure you'll mention the Rajba in his time, the Ramban in his time, the Beis Yosef in his time. These people, we know them from the greatness of Torah. Of course, they were great in Tefillah, but that's not their message to the Jewish people. Rashi's message to the Jewish people is in Torah. The Ramban's message to the Jewish people is in Torah. Even the Chassam Sofer's message to the Jewish people is in Torah. Even the Heilige Tzanz's message to the Jewish people is probably more in Torah than anything else. Greatness in Jewish people was always greatness in Torah. Now, the expression of greatness of Jewish people, HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim, Eile Toldos Yaakov, the continuation of the greatness of Yaakov is Yosef. The continuation of Yaakov is Yosef. And all through the generations, this was the cards that we showed. Our greatness and greatness of Torah. The Asar Haruga Malchus for greatness of Torah. These were the Bakir V'Chaverov, Tanoim, Amoraim, Rishonim, Achreinim. When the Jewish people had Amalis Moich, it was a greatness of learning. Yehuda is an expression of something else completely. Yehuda, we explained, is two words. Yud-ke, Vov-ke, and a Dalit. A Dalit means Dala va'aniyo, poorness and emptiness. Yehuda means when a person is poor and is empty. And we brought a mashal that the poorest and emptiest object in creation is a mirror. A mirror, if you could look at a mirror for a day or for two, you'll never see the mirror. You'll see the image in the mirror. The mirror itself, you never see. The moon, as we said yet last night, is the Nebuch, the biggest miskin in the world. No one ever saw the moon. All you see is the reflection of the sun. Yehuda means that when the Jewish people, and this means Jew, this means Yehudi, when the Jewish people, it's hard for me to express it like today, when we are emptied out from everything, we have no Chassam Sofer, we have no Chofetz Chaim, we have no great, great Gedolei Olam, we have no Tanoim, we have no Amoraim. All we have is Hashem. All we have is Hashem. This is the true expression of Tefillah. And this is what Reb Chaim Vital said. Well, they will come when we won't be able to live with only Torah. Of course, we all learn Torah. But there will be a special emphasis of Tefillah. Because when a person is empty, and it's in Remez, in the Gemara of Sota, a very famous Gemara, the Gemara says, in the end of days, Be'ikvus in the Meshicha, the Gemara says, there won't be great people, there won't be Anovim, there won't be, and the end is always, Al Milonu Lehishoyin, Al Avinu Shebashamayim. So the world thinks the Gemara is it's like a word of Yush. Al Milonu Lehishoyin. Oy, we have nothing to rely upon, only on Hashem. Which is a double expression of, I can't even say it, Chas v'shalom, of no one to rely upon. That's wrong. Al milanu lehishayin. On that day, when everything stops, it's like on Shabbos, when everything is finished, what do you have? Then you have Hashem. We must believe and know that never was Hashem close to us. Never was Hashem, were we able to have a close contact to Hashem. As our generation, when we lost all Madregas and we lost everything, and the Jew became a Yehudi, a mirror to Hashem. I once heard from B'Shem, a big tzaddik, what does it mean, Amid Lanu L'Hishoyen L'Avinu Shebashamayim? And 1,000 years ago, Amid Lanu L'Hishoyen? And he said, yes. Imagine the Chofetz Chaim was here. If you have it, Sora, you have a problem, the Hos Emet Sefar, you have who to go to. The Chofetz Chaim is someone to rely on. Imagine if the Satmar Rebbe would be here today. We have problems if the Satmar Rebbe would be in Williamsburg today. We'd have a Rebbe to go to. Maybe today there still are Rebbes to go to. I'm not Chas V'Shalom belittling anybody. But there were times when you had to rely upon. When you had to rely upon, it's very hard to conceive it. Then we had to rely upon. And now Hashem Yisburach came into the picture. It's very important for us to know. Hashem Yisburach came into the picture. And on both sides, this is the first message I want to bring out. One of our terrible mistakes. It's not a mistake, but it's something which we have to absorb and get into us. Hashem Yisburach is real. Hashem Yisburach is real. We call Hashem Yisburach Melech Kael Chai V'Kayom. Many times I have people coming to me. Today, in such a generation, people come to me also, where I live, with problems. And they say, V'zalichton, what should I do? And I answer, maybe daven. And this is the biggest insult. It means there's nothing to do. Oh, you know, if you say to go daven, they say a maaser, there was a shoemaker, a shuster, in Yerushalayim, Tavid B'Shulev Diskin, that was mamish pearl yeshuas. The true story. Mamish Rabbi Shulayb was, I can't describe to you, Shulayb. Mamish Rabbi Shulayb was Kadosh Elyon. And he used to send to the shuster for tefillahs. So once a lady came to Rabbi Shulayb, Leila Mazin is crack, my son is sick, please daven for him. So Rabbi Shulayb says, go to the shuster. She says, no, he's not that sick. don't tell me to go to the shuster. He's not that sick. You understand? So, sometimes they say go to the shuster means the matzav is serious. When you say go to Hashem, it means that there's nothing to do. That's not what it means, Rabbi Yisrael. Hashem is real. Hashem answers. Hashem reacts. If you learn how to talk to Hashem, Hashem talks back to you. You have to catch His language. Hashem is real. And never was Hashem as real and as close and as living as in our generation. Because we lost everything. And all we have is Hashem. And we have Hashem Yisburach. Because that's what Yehudi means. We're not called Yosef anymore. We're called Yehudim. A mirror is, we're empty. You know, you ever see a mirror? A mirror, what color is a mirror? A mirror has no color. That's what we are. We have no color. We have no meisim. We have no Torah. We have nothing. If you have a picture, then it's not a mirror. Then the Chassam Sofer can't reflect in a picture because it has color. When it turns empty, 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 then you see Hashem. And the end of generations, today, I think we all appreciate, we are empty. Never were we able to grasp Hashem Yisburach like today. Now, I would like to discuss some practical points about tefillah. I very often discuss in these gatherings, these seminars, that there are two foundations of tefillin. In the Torah, it's an expression called Becharbi uBekashti, and the Targum says Betzlusi uBeUsi. It's called tefillah and bakasha. Now, tefillah has two parts. Today, I would like to put emphasis on a new dimension, which is very important in tefillah. Fundamentally, tefillah has two parts. It's called tefillah and bakasha. Tefillah are the tefillos hakvois that were set up to us by Anshe Knesset HaGedola and previously by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Chazal tell us, Avraham tikein tefillas shacharis, Yitzchak tikein tefillas mincha, Yaakov tikein tefillas arvis. Now this means that when a Jew wakes up in the morning and he's hardly able to get out of bed, and he knows, we know all how we look, and we have to reach the Kisei HaKavod. The pasuk in Keilah says, "Ki Elokim b'Shamayim batal ha'aretz." Now, how do you reach the Shamayim? So the answer is, if any one of us would speak to me and say, "My name is Shimshon. I hear you're going back to Eretz Yisrael in a few days. Tell us, how did I get to Eretz Yisrael? You know, it's 5,000 miles away." They say, "There's a very simple way. Take a plane, catch a hitch. You think I swim over the ocean? You think I walk? You think I swim? You catch a hitch on an airplane." But we get up in the morning and we have to get to the Kisei HaKavod. Avraham Avinu was called Adam Godel Ba'anokim. Avraham Avinu was a giant. His feet were on the ground, Bereshay Bashamayim, and his greatness was Goyrei Shchokim, reached heavens. When you meet an Avraham Avinu in the morning at the Beis Medrash, when you meet him at the Beis Medrash, he takes you along with him to the Shemayim. Avraham Avinu was power. Yitzchak Avinu, you meet every afternoon, he takes you to Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov Avinu every evening takes you to the Kisei HaKavod. Anshe Knesset HaGedola gave us a nusach of davening. It's like a bomb. If you see someone taking a piece of iron and throwing it against the wall, and the wall just disintegrates, you say, "Wow, that's a genius. I could do the same thing." You take a piece of iron and you throw it against the wall and nothing happens. And the answer is because his was a bomb. It was a grenade. You put dynamite. When we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu, this is dynamite in these words. These are the words of Avraham Avinu. This is the power and the ha'utzmah shel Avraham Avinu. When we say Tehillim, it's like David HaMelech is crying for our children. Would you want David HaMelech to be mispowered for your children? When you say Tehillim, you're using David HaMelech's koyach. You're using Yitzchak Avinu's koyach. This is called Tefillah. The power of our siddur. And then there's another part called bakasha. Bakasha is heart talk. When someone cries to Hashem, this doesn't have to be out of the siddur. This could be in English, it could be in Yiddish, it could be in Spanish, it could be any language. It could be in Ivrit, Hashem Yisbarach understands every language. And lahalocha, the Ravid says that even though lahalocha, it's a big shaila to daven in other languages. Only b'tzibur. When you're in tefillah b'tzibur, then you can daven in any language, because tefillah b'tzibur, Hashem is there. But when you daven b'yechidus, then we need malachim to bring our tefillah. And malachim only understand Hebrew. And the Ravid says, but if you daven with great kavanah, if you're in trouble, if you're be'es tzora, if you daven with kavanah, with tears, then Hashem is there, the Shekhinah is there, you don't need malachim. And this is a very special tefillah. And the question is, how do you get to the Kisei HaKavod? Who brings you to the Kisei HaKavod? And the answer is, you don't have to go to the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod comes to you. Imo yanoichi b'tzor. Imo yanoichi b'tzor. Hashem Yisburach is with you. And this is the beauty and the greatness of tefillah. And these are two parts of tefillah. Tefillah and bakosha. Tefillah means the tefillah sakavois. And bakosha means bakosha that we ask from our heart. Now, I would like to, this evening, speak about a subject which is maybe too simple and too practical, but it's something that bothers me very much. Lemaisa, we, I think all of us, are witnessing a world that is falling apart. It's disintegrating. Now, there are many ways to look at it. There are many ways to look at it. 45, 50 years ago, there was a destruction, there was a Holocaust. And history tells us that after such a destruction, there was always an uprising. Let us bring a mashal. A little boy, Rahman al-Islam, is hit by a car and he's taken to the hospital and he breaks his arms and his legs and almost lost his life and he's all broken up and sick and everything else. His parents and his grandparents and friends and neighbors shower him with toys. If he'll cry, I want a bicycle, he'll get the bicycle. Whatever he wants, he gets. Why? Because he went through such a situation. But as time continues, and Yankel becomes healthy and leaves the hospital, he has to start walking on his feet. You can't continue with this shower of love that you were when he was in that situation. And slowly you have to start taking away things from him. And slowly he has to start living his own life. And the same way history told us, and we saw with our eyes, after the terrible destruction, we came to Eretz Israel and to the United States of America and to other countries, but mostly Am Yisrael came to these two great countries, great in Kamos, not in Nechus, these two big countries, and everything bloomed. Everything bloomed. Yeshivas grew. Olam HaTorah, Chassid HaShayid, Chassid HaBatei Midrashim, Parnosis. I remember when I was in the Shnor business just 10 years ago, what should I tell you? I mean, you all remember. The money was just spilling. The money was just spilling. And Baruch Hashem, everything was growing. Now, I think that we all realize that the last few years, something very, very upheaval took place, an earthquake. We slowly see how everything is disintegrating. Empires! Can I put it in this word? Empires of tzedakah. I'm talking about tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars of tzedakah that were given just 6-7 years ago. Today, I mean, Rosh Hashivas tell me they go to a person who used to give them $10,000 a year or $15,000 a year, and they go visit him in his house and they have cheshik to take out $10 to give him for Shabbos. And you all know what I'm talking about. You all know what I'm talking about. I don't have to describe it. And many other, so many problems. So many problems. So many problems today. So many Sholem Bayis problems. Family problems. We feel everything is just caving in on us. And we all ask this shaila, Ma osa Hashem Elokim lonu? It's because we're not learning the way we should. We're learning not earlier than 10 years ago. Not davening the way we should. And maybe this explanation is what I had said before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we were still after that terrible churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was building us and putting us up that we should be able to continue living. It's like a tati teaching a child to ride a bicycle and is pushing the bicycle, holding on to him, and he leaves go by yourself. I can't keep on holding. You'll never learn how to ride. And Rabbi Sai, let us face it, we're not doing a good job. We're not riding the bicycle we should. It's like when I learned how to ride a bicycle, I knocked into every car on the street. I can't forget. Baruch Hashem did knock into me. We're not doing a good job. Now, there's a lot to discuss, a lot to discuss. I would like to discuss one little point, which I feel is something very essential. There is a takone from David HaMelech, and I think everyone knows that there are mitzvahs in our Torah, kiminyan keser, 620 mitzvahs. 613 deoraisas, which we all know, and 7 mitzvahs derabbanan. 613 and 7 is the gematria, 620. That's the crown on a Jew's head. Keser mitzvahs. Now the 7 mitzvahs derabbanan, which include Chanukah and Megillah and Ner Shabbos and Erevin, Netilas Yadayim, one of the mitzvahs is a mitzvah which was created by David HaMelech, a mitzvah called Meyer Brachos. David HaMelech gave us a mitzvah that is a chiyuv to make Meyer Brachos. What happened was, the time of David HaMelech, there was a terrible magefa. There was a plague between the Jewish people. And every day, Rachmanu Litzlan, 100 people died. There was a sickness going around, and 100 people died. And David HaMelech made a takana for all the generations, that every day, every Jew is a mitzvah to make Meyer Brachos. And it's something which many of us don't know. In a normal day, we have no problem with Meyer Brachos. If you daven 3 times a day and you eat twice a day, which means you have the Shvi Shemen Esres and all the Brachos HaShachar in the morning and Brachos HaMazon, you're way over the 100 Brachos. Problems come in on Shabbos, and it's a whole series in Shulchan Aruch. On Shabbos, you eat delicacies, you eat an apple and a banana, and a piece of cake, and a piece of candy, to be mashlim the Meir Brachos. The only day of the year that Meir Brachos is a major, major problem is Yom Kippur, which we still didn't figure out how to make Meir Brachos. But there are etzes, you have Kavona, Brachos HaTorah, of the Aliyahs. This is not my subject. But Akoponim, there's a mitzvah to make Meir Brachos. Now, let me try to explain what does it mean, Meir Brachos. The number 100, will take me a long time to explain, and I'm not going to go into it, but very, very, mamish in short, the number 100 is a very, very complete number, because the number 10 is the most complete number that we have, all right? After 10, in any language, comes 11, which means 10 and 1. You can't go above 10. After 10, you say 10 and 1, which is 11. The number 10 is completeness. And the reason why the number 10 is completeness is because Ba'asara Ma'amorim Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created in 10 Ma'amorim. In 10 Ma'amorim of Hashem. And the Torah was concentrated into Aseres HaDibris. Now when you have 10, just like when you have the expression of 7. Now when is 7 really 7? When it's 7 times 7? I'm not going to explain why it is like that. When it's 10 times 10, then it's really 10. When every part of the 10 is built with 10, then you really have the 10. 100 is completeness. Now David HaMelech saw that the Jewish people are missing the Makor HaChiyus. And he said we have to make 100 brachas. 100 brachas means to open up the fountain of bracha for Am Yisrael. And this is a mitzvah derabbanon that all of us are mekayim 100 brachas a day. Rabbi Isai, may I introduce my own personal feeling? And I'm saying personal, Baloshan Anova. You could say that this man is Meshigge, Adre Takob. You could say whatever you want. But I always have the story of Bekiveger. You know the famous story of Bekiveger? They say there was a story that Bekiveger, once there was a Baal Tekeah that blew in a shul for 50, 60 years. They became holy, they didn't have to blow anymore. Bekiveger asked him to stop blowing. He went and was malshin to the governor, to the Goyish governor. And the governor calls him Bekiveger. He says, this fellow had a parnasa 60 years. How could you take it away from him? So Bekiveger says, Your Honor, you know enough about Judaism. When did the Jews, the most important day, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? She says, of course, I know Yom Kippur. She says, I stopped him from blowing Rosh Hashanah. He blows on Yom Kippur now. So the Jew says to the governor, what do you mean, Rosh Hashanah, you blow 100 kiyas, and Yom Kippur, you blow 1. So the governor says, if you have the shofar, don't stop blowing, keep on blowing, you'll blow 100. No one will stop you. I have the shofar here, I'm standing here in front of the microphone, no one can stop you. I'll tell you what I feel. I feel this is one of the foundations of our problems today. We don't know how to make a bracha. We don't know how to make a bracha. If you want, go into a pizza shop. I don't hold of eating a pizza shop. That's not what I'm trying to describe to you. Go into a pizza shop and just sit there over a glass of seltzer for 5 minutes and take a look how Yeshiva Bocher, how Bais Yankov girls, how Balabatim, how Elachidin, how they eat. You'll see, they take a glass. You know, maybe it's some kind of a miracle. Is that a bracha? Is that a bracha? Let me ask you, is that a bracha? Maybe that's why the fountain of bracha is just stopped up. Because we don't open it without brachas. Sometimes you hear a chashuv gentleman getting up to Kriyas HaTorah and he makes a bracha. And then you hear his bracha. Baruch Atah Adeleinu Melech HaOlam Asher Baruch HaBanu. Did anybody, any of the audience, tell, what does it mean, Adeleinu? What does it mean, Adeleinu? I went to Cheder. I'm telling you the truth. My father wrapped me in a talis when I was 5 years old. I remember it like today. 45 years ago. My father wrapped me in a talis. I went to Cheder. My Rebbe taught me. I can't still figure out. I became a Rosh Hashiva one time. I'm a Rosh Hashiva today. I was a Rebbe. I had all kinds of professions. I was a Lamed. I never heard the word Adeleinu in Hebrew. What does it mean, Adeleinu? Berachat Adeleinu. What does Adeleinu mean? And a person can make, I guess, 100 brachos a day. And 365 days a year. And 80 years. And never make a bracha. And then we say, where's Parnassah? Where's Parnassah? You were given the key. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Shehakol Neyebet V'Oray. Open up and you'll see what you see. How Hashem Baruch will spill on you, bracha. What does it mean, Buch? Buch atah. What does Buch mean? I know in Yiddish, Buch is a safe. What does it mean, Buch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? What does Buch mean? I ask you, I'm asking you, maybe, I don't know Hebrew. I live in Israel 30 years. What does Buch mean? Buch atah. What does Buch atah mean? What does Buch mean? I know what Baruch means. I wish I knew what Baruch means. But I heard what's the name Baruch, but what does Buch mean? Why not Shalala? And here Hashem Yisborach gave us power. Hashem Yisborach gave us power to open up the Shari Bracha. Do you know why we don't make a Bracha? You know why we don't make a Bracha? There are many reasons. One of the reasons, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. One of the reasons is Pekuach Nefesh. I'll prove it to you. Did you ever see someone drinking a glass of hot coffee? Did you ever see someone gets a delicious hot soup? And he tastes it and he burns his tongue. What's your hurry? Obviously, there's a hurry. Because if a person burns his tongue, probably he if he goes into the kitchen or edge, so probably he must have the drop of soup. So how can he make a bracha? He's in a hurry. When you have a piece of pizza, there's pasha no time. For koch nefesh. Rachmanos, you know, another minute, I just can be flat out. So how can I make a bracha? I just say, Baruch. Atah, and I think a little machshava. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Boyrei Minyan B'Zaynus. Today, this is not my issue. Seriously, I'm just putting this in parentheses. Today, what I'm going to say is not my issue. Today, there's something new in the world. Halachically, I'm not going to discuss it. Everyone knows halachically, all the rabbanim scream and cry, and it's helped to garnish the rabbanim. Such a thing called Mezaynus rules. You know what means a Mezaynus rule? Me it bothers personally Mezaynus Ruach, because my mother Zangazun, this is for this side of the Mechitza, who are looking at me like a Meshigan there, but I want to tell you I'm an important person, because I have a mommy Zangazun, she's a great woman, really, she's an Emes Isha Gedolah. She's the only American girl, besides the fact of her own merit, she's the only American girl that went from the United States to Krakow to learn by Sarah Schneer. My mother learned by Sarah Schneer, and she says a lot of things over for Sarah Schneer. She learned in the school over there with the Rebbetzin Bender, my mother went by Sarah Schneer. My grandfather sent her from America, the only American girl that went, to learn by Sarah Schneer. Sarah Schneer, my mother tells us, used to say, when she saw the girls eating, you eat all kinds of, you know what, you don't need bread. Used to bother her. She used to say, "Wie kemen essen am outside und nicht benchen breches am outside?" How could you eat a su'ud and not bench breches am outside? Eat a piece of bread, so you should be able to say, "Hazanus ha'olam, Baruch atah Hashem, Hazanus ha'koyom." By us, it's the exact opposite. You understand? We can't eat a piece of bread because then you have to bench Berachas HaMazon. Pooh! Berachas HaMazon. It's enough, you got to say Alamechia. So today, today we live in a modern generation, and they found a genius way. You could eat one roll, one bagel, and another bagel, a poppy bagel, and an onion bagel, and a this bagel, and a this bagel, no problem. It's mezainis. They put a little grape juice. And I'm not saying whether it's halacha wise good or no good. The rabbanon say it's no good. I'm not a rav. I don't know the halacha. You know.